This week, I talked about salt having primarily three major functions. And by the way, friend, it still has those same three functions. It isn't like it's different in some ways, but I understand, is it true, Donna, in the Philippines, they still salt fish? Okay, we don't do much of that in America. I guess you could find it, but I don't know. Salt is a preservative. It preserves. That's part of our job, yes? It adds flavor. We're to add something to this world. But I said also it sustains life. But to say that to a modern American, we're just totally oblivious to that. Because I didn't use the right language. My wife can give testimony. If you want to understand, talk to her after the service. We go to places on vacation together, not a mission trip, not pious stuff. We go together, spend time together and see things, have fun. It's almost always hot. Now, my wife does not sweat. I'm not even sure she perspires. But I both perspire and sweat. At nighttime, we'll come back from the jungles of Guatemala or Mexico, and my shirt will look like I have been swimming. You take it off, and it's like taking off a wet rag. I'll put it someplace where the air conditioner hits it. But what you don't know is you're not sweating water. How many times have you seen this? The next morning, that thing will be dry and it will be white. What is that? Salt does three major things: preserves, flavors, sustains. Here's what I left out. Are you ready? Drop the word salt and use the word electrolytes. And everybody knows you have to have electrolytes. Your body is electrical. Did you know that? And if you don't have proper electrolytes, your body doesn't fire and it's called you die. Sodium, potassium are the two big ones. There's also the calcium, magnesium. That's the reason when you're out there, you have to not just drink water because water doesn't have salt in it. You have to drink something that replenishes the electrolytes, yes. Ye, verse 13, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor or its saltiness, wherewith shall it, the world, be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Verse 14, this is this morning. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And that's kind of like, what? We'll get to that a little later. The next line is not any better. Neither do men light a candle, I'm not going to explain other than to say this. There were no candles in the first century. King James English was trying to, in their own language, talk. It was lamps. They didn't have candles. That's a Middle Ages thing. They used lamps with olive oil. But the concept's the same. Neither do men light a candle or a lampstand or lamp and put it under some kind of a bushel, something that covers it up. That would be ridiculous. But they put it on a candlestick. They take that lamp and put it on a lampstand, and guess what? It gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm going to speak this morning on this subject, lights in a dark world. Lights in a dark world. Father, I asked your help this morning. Certainly I have meditated on this, thought about this, studied this, prayed over this, worked through this. But Lord, I desire to make impact in the lives of all of us this morning. We are lights in a dark world. And we must shine. Help me to be able to convey the simple truths of Scripture this day, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Can you remember what you did on your anniversary? Your honeymoon? Can you remember what you did on your second anniversary? Strangely, I can remember exactly where we went on our first anniversary, Our second anniversary, I know there. Our third anniversary, I have no idea. I know we did something. Our second anniversary, I got a brilliant idea. Do you ever get a brilliant idea? I got a brilliant idea for us, my wife and I, to drive south, and we were going to go down southern Illinois, drive across 64, in Illinois, Indiana, cuts through a little bit of Kentucky, and there are caverns along that road if you've ever driven. And I had, every time you drive, I drive 64, I would see this thing, and it would say such and such a cavern, such and such a cavern. So we just decided we'd go see the caverns. We saw, I don't remember the names of them. It's been too many years. I remember we went to Squire Boone Cavern, Daniel Boone's brother. Other than that, I don't remember. There's several of them we went. Remember that, Jenny? We went there. I don't remember the names anymore. Some of those caverns were beautiful. Some of them were enormous. Some of them were the perfect temperature, about 58 degrees. Oh, my, just perfect temperature for me. Some of them were easy walks and some of them were difficult walks, but every single cavern we went in had one thing in common. Somewhere during the tour, as they toured you through the cavern, the tour guide, have you been one? The tour guide always does the same thing. What does he do? Turns off the lights. And you're in this cavern, and they turn off the lights. We're going to turn off the lights later in this service. Some of you have already turned off the lights. Some of you are still awake, I hope. They turn off the light, and it's the weirdest feeling in the world because you are in pitch black, and you can do this. And you know you're moving your hand, and you cannot see nothing. Is that a weird experience? A few years back, I don't know why, but my wife did not go with me. I drove home to see my mother, stayed with my older sister, Rita, and Mom, I picked Mom up, or probably drove Rita's van, picked Mom up, Rita, and one of Rita's grandchildren. The four of us drove to Hannibal, Missouri. Hannibal, Missouri, if you go to Springfield, it's just due west, right on the Mississippi River. Hannibal, Missouri is probably not, most of you have no idea anymore in America, but it's where, it's where Samuel Clemens grew up, i.e. Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn. You got to be old like me to even know about it. We went there. My mother didn't want to go in the cave. She doesn't walk that well, and she said, I don't know how well I will do. And I said, that's fine, Mom. You can stay out here. We put her in a place. She just talked and drank soda. Not drank. What's wrong with you? She drank soda. What's wrong with you? there was a gap there. It wasn't intentional. You know, it's funny. It's funny what's funny, isn't it? Anyhow, we go into the... But my sister had been in the cave. I'd never been in the cave. Has anybody been in the cave in Hannibal, Missouri? Mike? Of all the caves I've ever been in, it's the weirdest cave I've ever been in. If you've ever read Tom Sawyer and his girlfriend, Becky... Becky Thatcher, my first romance, they get lost in the cave. They go in there with a piece of kite string, and they run out of kite string. And they just have little candles. And the cave at Hannibal is not a massive cave. It's really not a pretty cave. It doesn't have interesting formations. It's an interesting cave. But the weird thing is, for you that have been in it, you can get lost 100 different places in the first 3 minutes. Because you go down and there's all kinds of side things. Some of them don't go any place. Some of them go, then go this way and you can meet back up. You can get lost. And by the way, I was a kid first time I read this story. Tom Sawyer and Becky were lost in that cave in the story. No light. The whole community's nervous. Folks, we're going to talk about two things this morning. Are you all listening? Light and darkness. Look back at Matthew 5:14. Can I ask before we do that, have all of you experienced pitch black? No light? Is it scary? All right. Matthew 5, verse 14. Ye are the what? The first point of the sermon is that which is most important. It's what that verse assumes. It assumes, number one, this is a dark world. Because you don't need light in the light. It's a dark world. When Jesus looked at the believers and says, you're the light of the world, he is assuming the world in which we live, this world is a dark world. That's an assumption. That's a given. It's very easy to miss the obvious. You never think about light as long as the sun is shining. You don't need lights during the day. But my friend, when it's pitch black, absolute dark, you think about light. This world is dark. You can either hold your hand here, however you do it. Look at John chapter 3 with me, would you please? John chapter 3. We're going to look at several references. I want you to see this in the Scripture. And friend, light and darkness is all through the Scripture. When the Scripture talks about the world, not talking about physical world, but people and culture, it uses darkness metaphorically as morality. Things are dark in this world. So this is a dark world. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. John 3, verse 19. This is the hardest text in the Scripture. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Right after he got done saying, for God so loved the world. Okay? He says in verse 19, and this is the condemnation or the judgment. That light, who's the light? Jesus himself is come into the world, and men, what? Loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. For every one that doeth evil, listen to the language, hateth the light. Look at me, friend. This is a dark world. We're going to get to our responsibility in a moment. But understand something. If we live in this kind of world, and you bring light into the situation, people are not going to love you. Light exposes things. It shows what's going on. So let's read verse 19 again. This is the condemnation or judgment, that light is come into the world, and men, mankind, loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Friends, these are strong emotional terms. These are not rational terms. These are emotional terms. He goes on to say, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. On the other hand, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. This has something to do with God. My friend, this world is dark. Not only is the world dark, men love that darkness, and they hate the light, and men will not come to the light. Look at another reference, please. 1 Thessalonians 5. Would you look there, please? 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, friend, most of us in this room don't work in law enforcement. Tom does. So I'm going to ask Tom a question, but I want you to listen. Y'all ready for the question? When does most trouble happen, Tom? During the day or at night? I want to ask you a second question. Does anything good happen after midnight if you're out? Answer the question. What ought you to be doing at midnight? Sleeping. Where I'm from, they have a saying. They only come out. Why is that? Men love. The physical darkness helps them practice their moral darkness. Friend, I see no reason, unless you're working, that you should ever be out after. What are you doing? Hey, look at me. Listen to the news, if you do. But don't sleep through the news. Don't let the news watch you. Actually analyze the news for murders. Almost everybody gets murdered at 3 in the morning. I'm like, what were you doing out at 3 in the morning? Why weren't you sleeping? 1 Thessalonians 5. You say, you're preaching to the choir. No, there's some young people here that probably think it's really cool to stay out all night and do stupid stuff. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Look with me. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep, and this is using the language in multiple ways, in the night. He's talking about the moral darkness. And they that are drunken when? In the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Please look at me, friend. We live in a dark world. This is a dark world. The moment you grasp that, hey, and the moment you talk to somebody about their drunkenness and you get rage, isn't that exactly what Jesus says? They love what? Darkness, and they hate? And I will say to you, sin loves darkness, physical darkness. I can never think of anything to do that time of night. The only thing I can think of to do after midnight besides asleep is maybe read a good book till you go to sleep. I can't imagine. What are you doing? The answer is, I'm out having fun. That's exactly what unsaved people do. They live, by the way, you work, they live for Friday. Why? So they can go out at night and do crazy stuff. I just want to demonstrate this because, hey, there's no need to read this verse until you know something. This is a dark world, morally. All right. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 8, verse 12. Second idea in the text. Second idea. I'm actually stepping now, not the assumption of the text, which is this is a dark world. When Jesus says you're the light of the world, that assumes the world's dark. Now I'm going to step back behind the text to other text to talk about the most important thing here. This is a dark world, and number two, Jesus is the light. We're going to get to us in a moment, but ultimately Christ is the light. John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. To me, that is change. I love that text. I'm not going to walk through this life being overwhelmed with the darkness morally of a culture. We have the light of life, Christ dwelling in us. He gives us light. Years ago, 1999, I was asked for the first time. I'd been on missions trips while I pastored in St. Louis. I'd gone to Romania and taught. I'd been to Mexico to teach. I was asked by one of our missionaries at the time, he's no longer a missionary for health reasons, Tom Parrott asked me, he says, Ralph, would you be willing to come to Venezuela and teach? Well, I'd never been to Venezuela. It was right at the period of time where Chavez, the communist dictator, was taking over. Things were kind of iffy, but not terrible. So I told Tom I'd love to. So I went down for a week and a half, I don't know, 2 weeks, I don't remember how long, and I taught in Venezuela. My first trip in, have you ever been to, I'm going to be technical, this is technical Spanish, Mac, technical Spanish. No, this is Venezuelan Spanish. They don't say Caracas, they say Caraca. I can always tell if you're from Venezuela. When you say gracias, you say gracia. They chop everything off. That's a Venezuelan speaking. I flew into Caracas. I flew in at night. And as I flew into the airport, which is on the coast, you look at Caracas is in the bowl of a mountain. So you drive through the mountains to go into the city. And when I flew in, I was with Tom. I looked at that place and I said, Tom, it was spectacularly beautiful. there were these little lights all over it. It looked like a massive Christmas tree. I said, this is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And he looked at me and he said, Ralph, wait till in the morning. I said, what do you mean? Wait till in the morning. So we landed the airplane, got our luggage, went to the hotel, stayed the night, got up the next morning. We were going to fly then from Caracas over to where Puerto Ordaz, which is where we were going to teach. We went out, we got in the airplane, and I saw what he meant. Hey, look up here. The light changed everything. You saw it too. That city that looked like a giant Christmas tree was nothing but slums. One shack built on top of another up the side of the mountain. They were made of corrugated steel. It was an ugly mess. Look at me. The light demonstrated what the city, not the city in the city, but on the outskirts, was nothing but poverty, disease, crime, ugly, because once the light came out, it demonstrated what the place really looked like. And it wasn't pretty. I'm going to say this to every person here. In this room, there are three or four or five people that I know are not saved. I'm going to say this to you. I want you to hear me carefully. By coming to this church, you're going to feel uncomfortable because the light of Christ is going to shine on you, and what it's going to expose is your sin. But I want to ask you a question. Listen, listen. Who wants to live in darkness? Don't you want light? Don't you want to be able to see? Don't you want to be able to move freely without the weight of all of this sin? Friend, there's a really weird thing that happens. Jesus is the ultimate light of the world. He came into the world to give us eternal life. But he comes in and he shines the light on our sin. And when the light shines, look at me, the immediate response is to run. Of course you want to run. You don't want anybody to know you. But there's a beautiful thing that happens. If the light shines enough and you respond, Christ takes away your sin, takes away your guilt, makes you his child, and all of a sudden you go from hating the light and loving the darkness to, I hate the darkness and I love the light. Only Christ can do that, friend. But hear me. Hey, there was a guy that visited here a couple months ago. I just looked at his card this morning. A guy brought him. Don't know the guy. But I told the friend that brought him. I said, well, we'll see. Because he heard something about the gospel that Sunday morning from the Beatitudes. And it shined the light right into his soul. But there's a problem. When the light shines, some people come and some people run. Which will it be? It's painful. I want to ask you that question. May I ask you that question again? Who wants to walk in darkness? Who would want to walk with not being able to see? This is a dark world. Christ, or Jesus, either one, is the light. Psalm 18:28, I'll just read these for you. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Psalm 27:1, there's people here that can quote this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? My favorite verse of all, let's turn there. We need to turn there. Psalm 36, would you? This is a verse that's a transforming verse. Psalm 36, please. Psalm 36, verse 9. 36, verse 9. Everybody find it? I just want you to see this one verse. This is a game-changing verse for me personally. Psalm 36, 9. Everybody find it? 36, 9. For with thee, speaking of the Lord, is the fountain of life. in thy light, we see what? Light. My friend, I don't know how to explain any other way. You watch people destroy their life day after day after day after day. They hear the gospel. Some of them, oh, I'm a Christian. But the moment the light shines, they're running. Now, I'm going to tell a story, and it's a terrible story because we don't have enough country people here. If I'd have told this in my first church, everybody there would have understood. I grew up on a farm, Dark Ages farm. It wasn't high-tech. Farms today are high-tech. Almost everybody has degrees. It's a very high-tech business. But I grew up on the old family farm. We had a corn crib. Anybody know what a corn crib looks like? All right, do you know why it looks like it does, Nicole? Look up here, folks. It's a regular building with a roof. They always build them off the ground, pretty good height, and they have slats with a gap. Then you have another slat, then you have a gap. Why do you have the gap? Because corn produces gas. And if you don't have that, corn will go kaboom when it dries. But there's a problem when you have those little slats. Mice love corn. And mice get, you know, that little cute little mouse gets to be about that big? Looks like a cat? I have gone out to the farm early in the morning to milk the cow, but didn't have a light, and it was semi-dark. And you ever kick one of those things accidentally? I can still feel it right here from just hitting that rat. Well, look at me. You go out there at nighttime, and you turn on the flashlight, and what do the rats do? They just, you didn't even know they were there. Hey, I want to say it again. This is a dark world. Jesus is the light. He shines the light into your soul because the first part of salvation is seeing your sin. Don't run, friend. Don't run from him. Run to him because he's the one that can save you from your sin. He's the one that can give you eternal life. But there's that natural, ooh, let me run. Of course there is. But the beautiful thing is, in thy light shall we see light. I love it. Look back at Matthew chapter 5, would you please? Matthew 5, verse 14. Number 3. I only have 4 ideas this morning. I think they're all helpful. I'm going to cut every single person that walks in this room that's semi-conscious is going to hear something for them this morning. Trust me, I'll get to everybody. I want to say, number 1, this is a dark world. How do I know that? Because Jesus says you are the light. Hear me, friend. You don't need a light if it's light outside. Be like everybody having 12 flashlights. What do you got those flashlights for? It's light. Jesus is the one and only true light. We have light through him. But Jesus says in Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world, meaning you as a group and as individuals within the group. I'm going to say number 3. This is a dark world. Jesus is the light, and we are lights as we walk in the light. So we also become lights as we walk in the light. Of course, he says you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, which simply says this, if Christ has truly saved you, it's like looking at a city way up on top of the mountain. Dave and Lord, this, I think you're the only ones here. You've been to Machu Picchu, is that correct? Do you see that city up on top of a mountain? By the way, Machu Picchu is not the greatest ruin in this part of the world. There's much better ones in the Maya world, but the best location on earth is Machu Picchu because way up on top of that mountain is a city in Peru. How do you hide a city on top of a mountain? You don't. Jesus is saying, I've given you light. I've given you life. You're going to be a light as long as you are part of this. Walk in the light. You're going to shine. You know, everybody sees the city. He goes on to say something kind of ridiculous. He says in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Well, of course not. Why would you light your candle or light the lamp and then put something over top of it. That would be ridiculous. He says, instead, you put it on a candlestick or on a lampstand. And what does it do? It giveth light unto all that are in the house. This is a dark world. Jesus is the light. We are lights as we walk in the light. John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. Would you look there with me, please? Talking about John the Baptist. And I love this text. I hope it helps you. It'll explain the relationship to Jesus being the light, but yet you and I have something to do with this. Because Jesus says to us, you're the light of the world. John chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read first 9 verses. Note carefully the verses. Talking about Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by Him, by Christ, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was what? Hey, look, friend, Christianity is not about not going to hell when you die. It's Christianity is Christ saving you, changing you, and giving you light. You no longer walk in darkness. You're not blind. You can see. You have no desire for the things of death and darkness. Somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, we're having a party. We're going to party all night. And I'm saying, well, good luck. I'll be sleeping. You say, why? Because I have no desire. I have a desire for the things of the light, not of the darkness. Let's keep reading. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There's an opposition here between it. Somehow the initial reaction for people is to reject it. Friend, if you're here, I get this. The first time you're around true Christianity and you hear about Christ and Him saving you from your sins, the problem is the light shines on your sins and you want to run. I got it. But remember, friend, where are you running to? More darkness? Who wants to walk in the darkness? In Him was the light of life. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the what? The light. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light. So in one sense, just like John the Baptist, we're not the light. That's Christ. What are we then? We're sent to bear witness of that light. This is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Friend, we are lights as long as we walk in the light. Yes, this is a dark world. Yes, Jesus is the light. But we too become lights as we walk in the light. John chapter 12, verse 35, please. John chapter 12, verse 35. 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. Time with age, you have no idea. I was in the Philippines, and I call her Nan, or Sister Nan. She is Dada's sister-in-law, Nan Hippolito. She always, her or one of her daughters, always takes care of me, finding me a place to stay. While I'm in Manila, that is. She found me a nice condo. Now, understand, the condos in the Philippines are made for Filipinos. They're very nice, but they're not made for big, fat white guys. So she knows what I have to have. I have to have a bed that I can at least lie on. This is Greek, folks. Cattywampus. I don't care if I, you know, most of the time I can't do straight on a bed in the Philippines. But as long as from corner to cattywampus, do you know that Greek word? I'm good. She knows that I have to have, if you're from, you know, if Spanish speaking, it's ace. In the Philippines, it's aircon. I have to have air conditioning at night. Number 3, I don't have to, but I sure like to have hot water. Yes, I can survive without hot water. Last year, one of the places had cold water, and every time I got that shower in the morning, this is what I do. I know it's cold, And I know it's going to be cold. By the way, you don't need coffee. I start saying, I hate Dada for sending me here. And then I jump on. I need three things. I need air conditioning. Well, I need more, but air conditioning, a bed at least that I can lie on cattywampus. And I prefer hot water. By the way, forget, there's only one place in the Philippines I've ever been that has hot water in the sink. So you always cold shave. That's a given. You say, why? Filipinos don't shave. Dave does. Look at Dave. Look at, he's looking like Bowder. He looks like Bowder over here, doesn't he? We're going to have a competition when Bowder gets here in May. See these mustaches. But anyhow, Nen got me a nice place, but it's a Filipino condo. You say, what's that mean? It had a room at the end. Nice room. Had a little door. You could walk out on the balcony. I was about 20 floors up. Nen and Griselle were there, and I said, well, come on in, ladies. Let's look on the balcony. And they went, oh, no. I don't mind. I thought it was kind of nice looking down. You have a little bedroom. You have a small little living room. And by the way, folks, Filipino furniture doesn't fit this big, ugly body either. Filipino furniture, you know, they all have the furniture where the stool is about down to here. You know, I need a crane to lift this body up. My goodness. Had a small living room, a little kitchen, which I don't use, and has a comfort room, a toilet, restroom. Well, the problem is, I got a question. If you have to go to the restroom in the night in a strange place, normally my wife would never like, I just leave the lights on the whole house because I can sleep. I don't care if it's light, dark, in between, doesn't bother me. But this place was weird. It was hard to leave the lights on in a certain way. So I kind of scoped. I was in a little room, and I was by myself, so I didn't have to shut the sliding door. And I had to walk, and of course, there was a little thing that you had to step over unless you stub your toe. So I got that scoped out in my mind. If I have to get up, step over the thing. And then there was a glass table. The table was about this, right there, that height. And I would scoot around the table, one side or the other, walk to the restroom. And of course, when you get to the restroom, there's a step down, which you have to remember. By the way, when you're 3/4 asleep and you have to step down even an inch, it feels like you just fell. So, you know, I'm walking in there. I got it scoped out. And I think, okay, I'm okay. Turn the lights off. There's some little bit of light from outside. Sure enough, 3, 4, 5 hours later, I don't know, I have to go to the restroom. I get up, and I'm trying to not wake up but remember what I had said to myself. So I missed that thing there. I walked in, walked around the glass table. But as I walked around the glass table, I didn't go around far enough, and I scooted right here, and I hit the corner of that glass table. And it just pinched right on the calf, right here on the calf. And when I say it pinched, well, I didn't know it at the time. It went all the way around. I walked on into the restroom, didn't think anything about it, did my business, came back, got up the next morning, got into the shower, and thought, man, my leg is hurting. Looked down and blood was flowing. That glass was like a razor. And it didn't cut me like a normal cut. It was like a surgical slice. And it didn't heal properly. You know, I had that scar for about a year. Why? Look at me. Why? No light. Couldn't see. Friend, we have light as long as we walk in the light. Look at John chapter 12, would you? John chapter 12. You say, what do you do now? Look at me, by the way. I take a flashlight with me. John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Of course not. If you just dark out, you're going to have problems. Jesus says, while you have light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. Verse 46, same chapter. Jesus says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in what? Friend, this is a dark world. Jesus is the light. When you come to Christ, you don't have to walk in darkness anymore. So when you see somebody constantly walking in darkness, please don't buy into this I prayed a prayer 40 years ago nonsense. God's people are children of light, and we're to bring the light. This doesn't mean we don't stumble sometimes, but on the whole, we're following Christ. We have the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 130, The entrance of Thy Word giveth light. It giveth understanding into the simple. Proverbs 6:23, For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Psalm 19, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is great reward. Matthew 5, verse 16, we will conclude. Cliffy, two out ones, please. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Everybody find it? Get the two outside ones first. I have a question for you all. Here's our problem. It's a problem that Christians have. I have a question for you. Are you listening? When do you need a light? Is the world dark? Yes or no? Here is our problem. We read Matthew 5:16 and we miss the entire thing because we are very religious. So I'm going to put flesh on this text. I have a little light. It's a small little, very nice, high-powered little flashlight. If you screw it like this, you can plug this thing in and recharge it. It recharges very, very well. It's very, very nice. It has, I think it's 800 lumens. It's pretty bright little. But by the way, you notice we have light in here. Yes or no? Now, it turns down. There's still light. Everybody see that? All right, look at the verse. I want you to look at the verse before we turn the lights off. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine. Before whom? Before whom? What is it talking about? Excuse me, what is it not talking about? This has nothing to do with church. Going to church, being in church, being faithful in church, sitting in church, singing in church. Ye are the light of the what? The world is a what? Dark place. Where does the light need to shine? Not in church. Look at me. I said it in Sunday school. This is not anger. This is a statement of fact. Look at me, friend. Nobody goes to the Amish world and sees Amish people in a buggy and sees Amish women dressing the way they dress with a bonnet, or the guy's wearing a beard and thinks, I want to be Amish. The first thing that a person thinks is, hey, that's weird. Here's our problem. We think we're shining the light by going to church. No, you go to church to worship God, to encourage one another, to learn the scripture, to be challenged, to be helped, to be blessed, to worship God. Folks, it's out there that the light needs to be shined. Where? in the dark world before men. Yes? Our problem is we can't read this verse. So some of us think we accomplished the light because we showed up at Awana. Listen, God bless you. I'm happy you serve in Awana. I'm thrilled. But that's just preparation for shining your light in the where? In a dark world. Cliffy, turn off the lights. And Frenchie, turn off this light. Now, we still can't get it dark in here. You recognize that, correct? But isn't it interesting, this light on the lowest possible is plenty of light to do what? To see. Is that correct? Do you realize, friend, if you have this little flashlight and you turn this flashlight on at its lowest place, which is where it's at, it will last 60 hours without a recharge. Just turn the two center lights back on. And you can't even see the light where? In the light. Our problem is, for a long time, Christians have thought going to church, and I'm not telling you not to come to church. I'm telling you, where you shine the light is in the dark world. Yes or no? By the way, I'm going to have you turn it off. Let me turn the bright one on. Go ahead, Cliffy. That'll definitely lighten it up. I don't even want to shine it because it'll blind you. Even modest light, even less light, even just a little bit of light. You can turn the lights back on, Cliffy. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I just did? Everything you have been thinking for the last whole of your life, that this is where you bring glory to God by going to church, you're missing the whole point. We shine our light before whom? Men, the dark world. So when you leave, here's where you shine your light. So what we're going to do, we're going to finish up. I'm going to give you the 4 points, and then I'm going to finish up by just reading some things. I have said, number one, this is a dark world. Do we agree with that? Number two, Jesus is the light. Do we agree with that? Number three, we have light as long as we walk in the light. And number four, we bring light. Are you ready? In the small stuff. In the small stuff. But not, by the way, I'm not telling you not to come to church. Don't get missed a point. Church is where we gather to worship, read scripture, sing, interact, fellowship. But it's out in the world. And friend, it's not in religious things. Otherwise, everybody would be Amish. But no one's attracted to being Amish because we find it quaint, interesting. Oh, you go to church. But when you shine the light of Christ into a dark world, yes, you're going to have people that hate your guts. But you're also going to have to bring the light into darkness, which maybe can help people. And you do that in the small stuff. We bring light in the small stuff. Let me say it this way. We do it in both what we do and what we don't do. I'm going to start with the positive. We're a positive person. Look at me in the eyes. We are a thankful people. If you're thankful on your job, people will be dumbfounded because they're not used to being around people who are thankful. They're used to being around people like them who are unthankful. How about this? We are people who enjoy our job most days, meaning, well, I don't want to go to the negative. We enjoy people. We love life. We love our children. May I say it? May I translate that from Greek into English? Look at me in the eyes, men. We actually like our children, and everybody knows it. We like our spouse. How about this? Pastor Kwok, I'll ask you again. I've been asking him this question for 15 years. We go out to eat pretty much every week. Is that correct? How often do you see somebody pray before a meal? You see us pray. I've been going out to eat with Pastor Kwok, Franco, sometimes Rolando. Now, Rolando, he prays because I make him. I'm not trying to be mean. Look at me, friend. We're thinking, how do we have impact in the world? You do not, listen, we have no impact in the world in here. We have impact in the dark world, where we shine as a light. Positive stuff. Let me read all of them. We're appreciative people. We're positive. We're thankful or grateful. We normally enjoy our job. We enjoy people. We love our children. We love our spouse. We pray at meals. We're loyal to our spouse. We enjoy God's world. You know, this, you know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You start doing all of those things and people start saying, man, this guy, something's different about this woman or this man. On the other hand, there's what we don't do. Or do I need to say this? We don't tell dirty jokes. We don't listen to dirty jokes. I don't do it anymore, but I worked in the hospital so long that it was so instinctively me. If somebody came up and said, I got a joke, it was just, I mean, it was intuitive. Why'd I do that? The next statement is it clean? Because I don't play games with dirty jokes. There's things we do, there's things we don't do. That shines light. It's the small stuff. By the way, we bring the light. We don't curse. We don't gossip. Hey, look at me. About our church, about our spouse, about the people we don't like. Can you imagine going to work and gossiping about the church people to unsaved people? We don't hate people. We don't join in the criticism. We don't do chismas. We don't backstab people. We don't betray people. We're not sneaky. We don't drink. We don't do drugs. We don't lie, cheat, and steal. I'll tell this story and I'm done. And forgive me, it's taken 4 minutes longer than I wanted to take. Look at me in the eyes and I'm done. I still think of when John Loesky, one of the deacons in St. Louis, got saved. I witnessed to John. I preached to him. I went over to his house 2 separate times and went through the gospel with him. On the second time he finally got saved, first time he said he understood the light shining into his sin. He wasn't a liar. He said, I got to think about this because this means a whole lot of things in my life. But when he gave his testimony, would you believe he never mentioned me? He never talked about the gospel, me being a great preacher. He never talked about me witnessing. He didn't even mention me witnessing to him. Do you know what he always talked about? Right across the street was Rick Beach, one of our deacons. And he said, Rick Beach was the hardest working man I ever met. And he says, and I prided myself in being a hard worker. One morning I decided he was unsaved. He was thinking this in his head. He said, I am going to get up earlier than Rick Beats and go to work before Rick Beats. So he got up at like 4:45. He got out. He says, I got everything ready. I jumped in my car. I pushed the hidden garage. I was going to back out into the little cul-de-sac. He says, as I push the button, the garage door comes up, and as I'm starting to back out, I see Rick Beats drive off. That's the reason, he said, I got saved. I met a man that worked harder than I did. You're looking for religion. We impact people in small stuff. Being honorable, honest, likable, liking people, liking God's world. Not griping, not criticizing, not gossiping, not cheating. We have people in this church that spend their waking hours out there in the world talking about this church. There needs to be repentance. No wonder why no one gets saved. We're as dark as the dark world. When does it change? You're the light of the world. Go forth out there and shine. Father, thank you for your word. Bless our time this morning.